Okay, we're going to continue looking at the two separate feedings of multitudes. We see that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record the feeding of over 5,000. We see that there were 5,000 men besides women and children. So much more than 5,000 were fed on that occasion. And then we see a separate miracle. There was a feeding of over 4,000. Again, 4,000 men besides women and children. So there were much more than 4,000. We see that only Matthew and Mark record the feeding of over 4,000. So Matthew and Mark are the only two that record both events. And this is one of the most instructive miracles of Christ. It teaches us many things. We saw last week the place of the miracles. We see in the feeding of over 5,000, it was in a desert city of Bethsaida, which would have been a mostly Jewish multitude. We see in the feeding of the over 4,000 that though we're not given the particular place of the miracle by reading, we do learn that it would have taken place in the coasts of Decapolis, which would have been a mostly Gentile multitude. We also looked at the background, that is how the over 5,000 congregated and how it came about that the over 4,000 congregated. We see that after these multitudes had congregated, there arose a need. And any time there arises a need, and there's always a need, but we're not always aware of it. When we become aware of a need, that's always a test. That's always a test of our own faith. It is a test where we are spiritually. It's a test of what our spiritual condition is at that time. So there arose a need. And we see the Lord is always putting us in places, causing things to happen that causes us to realize times of need. We see also that the Lord worked it out where when this need arose, that his disciples were in places that were not conducive to the need. That is, they were not places, if you were going to have this need, that these are not places you would have chosen for this need to have arisen. We see in the feeding of the over 5,000 was a desert place, and they made reference to that, each writer, that it was a desert place. So it's obvious that they were concentrating on the place they were in, and that the place was not conducive to their need. In fact, it just simply added to the apparent impossibility of the situation. And we see in the feeding of the over 4,000, it says that though Jesus went into a mountain, it says that it was a wilderness place. Again, a place not conducive to the need that had arisen. And we want to see today that in both miracles, they're in a place that's not conducive. And in both miracles, they lacked the material need, they lacked the material means to meet the need. They did not have the means to meet the need at hand. And I believe the Lord often puts his people in that exact position puts them in a place of need or causes a need to arise, and they do not have sufficient means, material means, to meet the need. Children of Israel wandering 40 years were constantly put in that position. You and I are constantly put in that position. And the lesson every single time is not to get our eyes on the material means, but to get our eyes on the Lord. So in both miracles, the Lord calls the apostles to recognize that they did not have sufficient means. He brought them to the point where they realized, where they were fully aware, we do not have sufficient means. Now, he brought them to this place. He said, notice in Matthew 14 and verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Feed them. Well over 5,000 people. Jesus gives a command. Feed them. Now the purpose of this command is to bring them to the point where they realize they do not have sufficient means to feed them. Bringing them to the point where they realize this is an impossible task. The Lord is telling us to do something that we cannot possibly do. The Lord does that all the time. Because first of all, without Him, you can do nothing. The Lord's always telling us to do stuff that you and I cannot do. But it's when we realize that, because most of the time we don't realize it. Most of the time we think, well, I can do that. But we have to be brought to the point where we realize I do not have sufficient means to do that. So he tells them, give them to eat. Then notice in John chapter 6, he's issued this command. And in John chapter 6 and verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, saw a great company come unto them. And again, Matthew, Mark, and Luke record that when this happened, Jesus said, give them to eat. John doesn't record that part of the conversation, but he does report something that the others didn't. Jesus said unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? He said this to prove him, to test John, for he himself knew what he would do, and that's always the case. Jesus always knows what he will do. He always knows what we will do. But he brings us to a point, he tests us, and again, he tests our faith. So Jesus asked him, how are we going, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? In other words, this is a desert place. Look around. There's no place to buy bread. What shall we do? And immediately, the question caused them to realize the insufficiency of what they had. Notice in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 17. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's not merely we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They said more than that. They said we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. In other words, they added for emphasis, Lord, this is all that we have. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You want us to feed this great multitude. But all we have is five loaves and two fishes. Mark, in Mark chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus again gave that command, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? Now they had made a calculation. They had made a calculation in their minds. The calculation was, we need to buy 200 pennyworth of bread. A penny was a wage for that day. We would need 200 days of wages, 55% of a yearly income, to feed this multitude. Again, Jesus is bringing them to the point where they realize that what they have is insufficient. It's insufficient to meet the need. It's insufficient to do what the Lord said. The Lord said, give them to eat. But what they had was not sufficient to give them to eat. And how many times does the Lord tell us to do something that we do not have the means to do it with? And what do most of God's people do? Pray for me that I can have X amount of means so that I can do such and such. That's not what the Lord said. He said, you do it. Whether you have the means or not, you do it. And you trust the Lord to take care of the rest. We've got it all backwards. We're like the 10 spies that went into Canaan. We're just like them. And most of God's people are just like them. We want everything to be in order. And then when everything's in order, we will move. But that's not how the Lord works. You see that all the way through the Word of God. God tells us to do something. And the first thing that comes to our mind is, well, do we have the means to do this? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether or not you have the means. The Lord told you to do something. Now you do it. And the Lord will take care of the means. And if God's people would just learn that lesson, they would see miracle upon miracle. But instead, we want the means first, and then we'll work. And that's why we fail to see the miraculous working of God in our lives. If we would just do what God says and just leave the rest with Him, we too would see many miracles. In Luke, notice Luke's account of this. In Luke chapter 9, verse 13. Luke 9, verse 13. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but five loaves and two fishes. Again, the emphasis is upon the little that they had. It's not just, we have five loaves and two fishes. We have no more. This is all that we have. We do not have sufficient means. And the Lord desires to bring them to that point where they realize we do not have the means to do what the Lord said. Then notice in John chapter 6, verse 7, again, the Lord has asked Philip a question, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them. Lord, even if we had 200 days of wages, I doubt seriously that would be enough. Now, five loaves and two fishes is a long ways away from 200 pennyworth. They're nowhere near. They're not even close. They're not even in the ballpark. They're nowhere near having the means to do what the Lord told them to do. Andrew, overheard this conversation between Jesus and Philip. And we read in verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. So that explains how it came to be that they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Really, the disciples didn't have anything. When they went to meet Jesus, they didn't have anything. But there was a young boy there who had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now that has always interested me. Why in the world? Because as you read the accounts on how the multitudes got there, they rushed to the scene. Why did this young boy bring with him? It was obvious no one else brought food. Of all that multitude, no one else brought food. But this young boy brought 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Did he think he was going to eat a big lunch that day? I mean, why did this young boy bring 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes? I believe it's just simply explained by the Lord said to him that day, pack a good lunch. Bring 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He had no idea why he was bringing 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So you see, really, the disciples, when they realize that there's a young boy here that has 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and Jesus said, what do you have? And they said, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The truth is, they didn't have that. It belonged to the boy. It belonged to the young man. But it becomes obvious that not only did the young boy, not only was he led to bring that amount of food with him, but he was also led to let go of it. He was also led to give it to the disciples. You see, the Lord's working. A need arises, and the Lord already had everything in place. And what the Lord had in place did not seem to be sufficient. And the Lord always has everything in place. And who would have thought to look? Well, we've got to look for the young people, the young kids here, and perhaps one of them has some. Who would have ever thought? But the Lord had everything in place. He brought that young boy there with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But notice in verse 9, there is a lad, John chapter 6, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And I could just hear people thinking today, they would say, well, he's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We've got to come up with a plan to get those from him. No, you don't. The Lord worked on that end when he brought him there, and the Lord will work on that end for him to let go as well. Why didn't the young man say, no, they're my loaves and they're my fishes? Because the Lord didn't allow him to. The Lord's in complete control of the situation. And when this great multitude arrived and the need of hunger arose, no one thought to look for a young boy who brought an extra big lunch that day. Never crossed anyone's mind. But the Lord had it all worked out. We see in the feeding of the over 4,000, once again, they were overwhelmed with the sense of need. And in Matthew 15, verse 33, and the disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness? Now notice, they also emphasize where they're at. Where shall we have so much bread in the wilderness has to fill so great a multitude. So in both miracles, they are brought to see that what they had was insufficient to meet the need. In response to that, Jesus asked them the question, "How many loaves have ye?" And they responded. They realized that what they had was not sufficient. Now you'll notice in both miracles, the disciples did the same thing. In both miracles, they began to calculate in their minds. They began to try to figure. They began to take stock of what they had. And we do that. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. That is really part of good stewardship. You need to take stock of what you have. But don't take that too far. And that's what they did. They calculated, but they calculated without Christ. They left Christ out of their calculations. When you do that, your calculations are skewed. They're all off. And people do it all the time. "Well, we've only got X amount of dollars. We can't do that." But the Lord told you to do that. Is the Lord going to tell you to do something that cannot be done? No. The Lord told you to do it. You know that you should do it, but you get stuck. "We don't have the means," or "we're not in the right place, we're not in the right position to do that," and that's where God's people get stuck. They calculate, but they do so without Christ. They leave him out of the calculations. We all do it. And that is a sad, sad lack of faith. Again, you can pull out the calculator and you can work all the figures, and nothing wrong with that. But you need also a "but God" button on that calculator in order to correctly calculate. And if you're leaving him out of the picture, you're not calculating right. And people will always use as an excuse, "Well, we've got to be responsible." And I'm all for being responsible. But when God tells you to do something, the responsible thing is to do it. No matter what the means are. Now, like all of us, they not only calculated and they left Christ out of their calculation, but they came up with a solution. We're good at that. God's people are good at, in a time of need, and they do not have sufficient to meet the need, they begin to calculate and they come up with a solution. But you still can't get around what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Feed them." That's what he said. Now, their solution was in Matthew 14, in the feeding of over 5,000. He said, "Lord, send them away." That was a simple solution. These people are hungry. There's well over 5,000. We do not have sufficient to feed them. Not 200 days' wages would not be enough to feed them. Our solution is, "Lord, send them away." Isn't it amazing that we offer solutions to the Lord? That we offer suggestions to the Lord. And that's what they did. They said, "Lord, we've thought about this, and here's what you need to do. Send them away." We do the same thing. We think about something and we begin to pray that Jesus would work according to the solution that we've already worked up in our minds. We're telling the Lord what to do. And when we just simply learn to do what Jesus said, we would see miracles in our lives. And then after they said, send them away. Jesus said in Matthew 14, verse 16, they need not depart. In other words, that's not the answer. That's not the answer. Seems logical, but logic gets in the way of faith. And logic gets in the way of serving the Lord. It really does. Jesus said, they need not depart, and then he said to them, give them to eat. They do not need to leave, you feed them. And again, he, by so doing, they come to realize the great need at hand, and we'll continue next week looking at these two miracles. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father.